You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Diana Solia said to me, "It must be difficult to give a Christian witness in the city." Diana and I were helping chaperone Mr. Biesendorfer's 8th grade class on their field trip to Chicago. We were standing in the lobby of the Sears Tower, waiting with the other adults and children to ride up to the observation deck on the 103rd floor. Apparently, the children hadn't noticed a woman who was trying to get through the crowd. The woman got frustrated, bellowed out, "Excuse me," and bulldozed her way through the children. No doubt she was thinking unkind thoughts about 8th graders on field trips. That's when Diana said, "You know, it must be difficult to give a Christian witness in the city." I agree. Our topic today is the Christian in society. More and more that means the Christian in the city. It's just not easy to put on your Christian face in our increasingly impersonal, anonymous society. I hope today's program, and especially God's word that I'll share, will give you help being a Christian in society. In some ways, life in modern urban society is more difficult for Christians than for those who are not. Dr. C.F.W. Walther was a theologian in the 19th century. He said, "Some preachers describe the Christians as having nothing but pleasant feelings. Now that is not true. Many non-Christians live without any qualms of conscience. On the other hand, you will say, a Christian, oh, what a happy being he is. He is free from all anxiety, free from doubt, etc. All this is not so. Thousands upon thousands of Christians are, on the contrary, filled with anguish and despondency, and are continually fighting with themselves and crying, 'Oh, wretched man that I am!'" That's what Dr. Walther said a century ago. Indeed, the Christian who sincerely wants to please God can find it very difficult in today's impersonal urban society. Obviously, I can't prescribe what to do in every situation, but the Bible has one dependable truth that helps you, whether you're in the impersonal crowds of the city or in a small town. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's the kind of assurance that all people need. Jesus can find you in big city crowds and in small little towns too. I say that because Jesus did a marvelous job of finding people in crowds during the time he was visibly present on earth. Once he was walking through the crowded streets of the city of Jericho. In those crowds he found a man named Zacchaeus and gave him a new place in life. Another time, Jesus was in the middle of a crowd. A woman, desperate for help, touched his clothes. He knew it. He sought her out. And again, Jesus gave her an assurance for life. I'm reminded of another city dweller. This woman had been caught in the sin of adultery. The people were stoning her, literally, not just gossiping about her sin. They were literally about to kill her by throwing stones at her. Jesus got into that crowd and saved her. Jesus Christ has a divine knack for finding individuals in the crowds. Specifically, he comes to you, wherever you happen to be in modern society. He finds you, just as he found others in ancient crowds, for the purpose of saving you. St. Paul says it this way in 1 Timothy 1:15, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Let me make 3 points about this verse. First, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. As I said before, Jesus has a divine knack for finding you in society's crowds. He finds you to save you. St. John says it this way, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. Now, what does it mean to be saved? Society today is beset with all sorts of problems. Homelessness, poverty, drugs, illiteracy. What does the Bible mean when it says Christ Jesus came to save sinners? To survive rush hour? To pay your bills and maybe have enough left to go out? To keep your marriage intact? To keep your kids from getting caught up in drugs, sex, alcohol? To beat cancer? What does Jesus' salvation mean today? My second point helps answer that question. What does salvation mean today? The verse says, secondly, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners. Sinners are individual human beings. Sin is not simply the presence of evils in our society. Those evils are the terrible products of a society comprised of sinners. Our social, political, and economic problems are not the ultimate problem. The ultimate problem is that society is made up of sinners, like you and me. That's true in the biggest city or in the smallest rural farmhouse. Being a sinner means that each of us wants to be our own little God, rather than humbly submit and follow the great triune God. This is the history of societies comprised of sinners. Adam and Eve gave in to the temptation to be like God. The people who built the Tower of Babel were fashioning an urban civilization apart from God. Today, the same thing is still true. Our great urban centers and our small towns are beset with social evils because that's what sinners invariably produce. The biggest problem in modern society is individual sinners who want to be their own little God in their own little corner of society, apart from a humble submission to the real God. So, Jesus did not come to save some abstract humanity. He did not come to change social or political or economic structures. The verse says that Jesus came to save sinners. He did that. And now my third point about the verse. By coming into the world, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ is the second person in the triune God. He has existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit from eternity. This second person came. He didn't stay in the heavens. He came. He became a human being. I don't mean he appeared in a body but really wasn't human. He became a true human being. He came into the society of his day, just as his word comes into the society of our own day. He visited the cities and the small towns. He talked to the crowds. He talked to individuals. He talked about God and sin, and he told them why he had come into the world. He came into the world to die for sinners and to rise for sinners, sinners then and sinners now. To die because your sins have to be punished. God doesn't want to punish you for your sins, so God's Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world to be punished in your place. On the cross, God died for you. He rose on Easter morning for sinners. God restored his dead son to life because God was well pleased with what Jesus had done. He had accomplished forgiveness for your sins. Jesus had broken the dominion of sin in the world, so God raised Jesus from the dead. Because what Christ did brought life and immortality back to the world. Society was plagued by evils. It was then, and it still is now. You and I, the sinners who produce these evils, sometimes knowingly, sometimes we produce them unknowingly, we sinners are forgiven by God because of Jesus Christ. It's all so concrete, so specific, so individual. Jesus doesn't deal in abstract theories of social or political or economic change. No, Jesus deals with specific sinners. Jonathan Swift, 18th century satirist, said this, "I have ever hated all nations, professions, and communities, and all my love is directed towards individuals. But principally, I hate and detest that animal called man, although I heartily love John, Peter, Thomas, and so forth." Swift's point is that people often talk about humanity, society, great abstract terms, but the fact is that you and I don't deal with abstractions. We deal with specific individuals at specific times in specific places. Jesus Christ, in his visible ministry 2,000 years ago and in his word of salvation now, comes to individuals with forgiveness and hope. He comes to specific sinners. You, me. Jesus finds you and me in the faceless crowd, struggling as we are with the evils about us, and Jesus said, "I came into this world to save you." If that sounds good to you, if that's what you've been waiting to hear, then Jesus only asks that you take him at his word. Believe him. Believe that he's your eternal Savior. Believe that he has forgiven your every sin. Believe that his Spirit can help you break whatever sin is ruining your life. Society will always have its problems, but sin does not have to rule you. Take Jesus at his word when he says, as he does in John 16, "I told you this so you will have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but have courage. I have conquered the world." That makes you a Christian in society. So now, what are you supposed to do? Get on a soapbox and start preaching Jesus down somebody's throat? No. Being a Christian in society doesn't mean forcing your beliefs on others. So what do you do? Deal only with Christians? Buy only from Christian stores, Christian contractors? Deal only with Christians? No. Being a Christian in society doesn't mean avoiding non-Christians. We are in the world, but not of the world. Or should you split your personality? Go to church on Sunday, but Buster, you better get out of my way on Monday morning in the traffic. Say your prayers at home, but curse your business competition during the week. Marvel at baby Jesus each Christmas, but crab and complain about kids the rest of the year? No. There is no separation of church and state when it comes to living the individual Christian life. The Bible does have clear guidance about being a Christian in society. St. Paul wrote two letters to a young pastor named Timothy. Paul wrote because some of the Christians in Timothy's churches were having trouble being Christians in society. Some had become aloof. Others were more worldly than the worldly people. In either extreme, they were not integrating faith and life. They were not balancing being in the world, but not of the world. So St. Paul offered some guidance. He encouraged Christians to positive participation in the institutions of society. He urged Timothy and the Christians to be active in the institutional church. Paul told Timothy to devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, encouragement, and teaching. Practice these things. Continue in them so that everyone can see your progress. Watch yourself and your teaching. Continue in these things, for if you do so, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Being a Christian in society means being active in the institutional church. The church is not some platonic, abstract reality. The church is real individuals gathered around the real words and the real sacraments of a real Savior. Paul also urged Timothy and the Christians to support the institution of government. Years earlier, Paul had written to the Christians in Rome and told what the purpose of government is. In Romans chapter 13, he says, "Let everyone be subordinate to government officials, because no government exists unless God has permitted it, and the governments which do exist have been established by God. The government is God's servant, an avenger who is there to punish anyone doing wrong." Paul doesn't say that the government is infallible, or that you and I should blindly trust all the government does. Paul does urge Christians to support the government insofar as the government is carrying out its divine task. He writes to Timothy and to us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "I urge you that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are over us, so that we may live quietly and peacefully and be godly and reverent in every way. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to know the truth." Finally, St. Paul also urged the participation of Christians in the divine institution of the family. He especially directed that advice to women, because many were disparaging family as burdensome and oppressive. So he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, "I want younger women to marry, have children, manage their homes, and give the enemy no chance to slander them." St. Paul doesn't say it's a sin to be single, nor is he saying that it's wrong for a Christian woman to work. He is saying that the family bond is a specific way for Christians to deal with one another and with non-believers in our society. Being a Christian in society means to support and not disparage that divine institution of the family. Throughout all this advice, Paul urges good works. The two letters to Timothy are filled with exhortations to Christians to be doing good works. I encourage you to read the letters of Paul to Timothy. Good works do not save us. Christ Jesus came into the world to do that. But good works help society. And you don't need to take a field trip to Chicago to know that society needs help, real help from real people, through their participation in the real institutions of society. And you don't have to be a genius to figure out why St. Paul urged Christians to participate in the institutions of society. Christ Jesus came into the world. He became incarnate. People who bear the name of Christ, Christians, are in the real world to give witness to the Savior. Jesus said to the Heavenly Father in John chapter 17, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." One of the high spots of our trip to Chicago was going up to the observation deck of the Sears building. That was literally a high spot. Looking down from the 103rd floor of the Sears Tower, we listened to a loudspeaker describe some of the sites below. One of those sites below was the Chicago Board of Trade. The Board of Trade building was built in 1930, and it was topped off with a statue of the Roman goddess Ceres. Ceres was the goddess of grain, an obvious choice for the Board of Trade building. But this statue of Ceres has no face. For in 1930, the architects assumed that no one would ever be so high as to see the face of the statue, so they left Ceres faceless. They thought no one would ever notice. In so many ways, our society has become faceless, impersonal. Millions of fellow human beings are hurting because no one seems to notice. Jesus has a divine knack for finding hurting people in huge crowds. He finds you, and he invites you to be his follower in society. He invites you to show a Christian face to the world so that people might know his incomparable salvation. Amen.